Take our Bibles this morning. We're still in Genesis chapter 5. We're going through the book of Genesis. We've entitled our movement through the book of Genesis as In the Beginning. In the Beginning. And of course, In the Beginning, God. In the beginning, God was. In the beginning, God already existed, and God is eternal. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and all things that are therein. In the beginning, God created man, male and female, created he them. The book of Genesis is many times called the book of beginnings because it is filled with beginnings, and you find many first mentions of things in the book of Genesis. And 2 weeks ago, we began in this chapter, and we considered the books of the generations of Adam, or the lineage that we find attributed to Seth, according to the last two verses of the fourth chapter. And we have laid before us that Adam brought forth a son named Seth, and from Seth came Enoch, from Enos came Canaan, and so on. And every reference here, every text, if you want to use that term, ends with the same statement, and he died, and he died. Death is a certainty. Death is placed on all, over all. God has told us in his word, it is appointed unto man once to die. And we've seen that repeated throughout this chapter. But last week, I wanted to put a more positive twist, if you would, or application, if you would, to that reality that death reigns. Death reigns, and that is proven by this chapter that we're in. But the good news is God still saves. Amen. Death reigns. Men have been dying since God placed that curse upon them and will continue to die until the final enemy, which is death, is cast into the lake of fire. But praise God, not only is death a reality and will come upon all, but God is still saving. Amen. Yeah, it may be appointed to you to die, and it is appointed unto everybody that is here this morning to die. But the good news is, he's still saving. We can say without apology, we can say without reservation, if you'll repent of your sins, if you'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved, positively. So if you're here and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, may God show you your sin. May God show you the reality that sooner or later you're going to have to die. Everybody's going to have to die. Everybody needs a Savior because everybody's going to die. And may God show you Jesus Christ, dying for you, giving you eternal life. And I told you last week when we were in this chapter that we were going to visit the story of Enoch and his descendants that are found in this passage of Scripture. And the portion of this text that deals with Enoch begins with verse 21. And goes down to verse number 24. So let's read that text for our message this morning. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. The one exception in this fifth chapter to those words, and he died, is Enoch. Enoch doesn't die. Enoch is taken up into glory. Enoch is snatched away, we'd like to say, by God, according to our text. And Enoch was received into glory without having to see death. These passages of Scripture, these texts that we identify in Genesis chapter 5, are really easy to understand. They're really easy to explain. We see here that Jared had a son, and his son's name was Enoch. Enoch. And our text tells us that Enoch, after he became 65 years of age, he had a son. And that son's name was Methuselah. Everybody should know what Methuselah is famous for. You still hear the expression every once in a while, not so much as you used to. But every once in a while you'll hear the expression, well, they're as old as Methuselah. That's what Methuselah is famous for. According to the scriptural record, and according to any other record we have, Methuselah lived longer than any other man known. And he lived 969 years of age. And Enoch, when he was 65 years of age, gave birth, his wife gave birth to Methuselah. And verse 22 tells us, Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. Methuselah was born when he was 65. Methuselah walked with God after Enoch walked with God after Methuselah was born 300 years. And he had other sons and daughters during those 300 years. And the Bible doesn't tell us anything about those other children. Verse 23 tells us all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. I want you to notice the significance of that expression, he walked with God. Enoch walked with God. This morning in our Sunday school lesson, there was some focus in on walking. Those who walked in the ways of others and walked in the ways of maybe ungodly men. Enoch is said to have walked with God. Walked with God. It states that in verse number 22, and Enoch walked with God. And it's repeated in verse number 24, and Enoch walked with God. And in Genesis chapter 6, I think it's verse number 9, we're told that Noah walked with God. And we believe there is indication that tells us that Adam at one time walked with God. It is my opinion, it is my conviction in studying Genesis chapter 5, that all of these generations, all of these men that are mentioned, I believe they all walked with God. They're called the children of God. They're identified as those who separated themselves from the people of the world and separated themselves unto God. They're people who worshiped God publicly. They're people who called upon Him. All 10 of these generations that are mentioned in Genesis chapter 5, I believe walked with God. And that'll be important just momentarily. But he walked with God. We see in this passage of Scripture that Enoch walked with God after Methuselah was born 300 years. 300 years. That tells us that Enoch didn't start off and then sometime fail and cease. But I believe Enoch walked with God before Methuselah was born, and Enoch walked with God after Methuselah was born, and he continued to walk with God for 300 years after Methuselah was born, and he was received up into the presence of God, received up into heaven. So when we talk about Enoch walking with God, it was a walk that was consistent. It was a walk that continued. It was a walk that we need to understand can be done. We don't have to start off great and be like a skyrocket and then boom and it's all over with. We can walk with God and we can continue to walk with God and we can stay walking with God and we can finish our life walking with God. We don't have to quit. We don't have to fail. We don't have to stumble. He walked with God after Methuselah was born for 300 years. And Amos chapter 3, verse 3, a verse we quote a lot, and other people quote. It's quoted so much, everybody here ought to know what Amos 3:3 says. And I'm going to trust and I'm going to express confidence that everybody here, most everybody here, knows what Amos 3:3 says. Well, Amos 3:3 asks the question, can two walk together except they be agreed? And the answer to that is no. For two people, two individuals, for God and someone else to walk together, they have to be agreed. And there has to be agreement in many different regards. And we're not going to consider those things. But Enoch walked with God, I believe, all the days of his life. He walked with God 300 years after Methuselah was born. And for 365 years, him and God were in agreement. They were in agreement with each other. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5 tells us a little bit about Enoch. That chapter where you find the great heroes of the faith. And we have identified that the men of Genesis chapter 5 were men of faith. Men of faith that passed the faith along to others. We dealt with that last week. And we find there in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 verse number 5 that Enoch was taken. Why was he taken? Why was he raptured? Why was he received up into the presence of God, taken up into heaven without having to see God? Death. Hebrews 11 verse 5 says, because he had this reputation. What kind of reputation did Enoch have before he died? He had the reputation that he pleased God. He pleased God. So Enoch walked with God. He walked with God after Methuselah was born 300 years. He had to have been in agreement with God. Him and God had to agree for them to walk together. And in order to walk with God, Enoch had to be a man who pleased God. And Hebrews 11:5 tells us he pleased God. In all of these things, we need to apply to ourselves. We need to walk with God. We need to examine our walk, whether or not it's with God. We need to make sure we're walking with God. We need to understand that we can walk with God because other men have walked with God. We need to understand that we don't have to just have a temporary walk with God, that we can walk with God all the days of our life, all the days of our profession, all the days of our new birth. We can walk with God because others did. It is possible, and I like this thought most of all when I consider the record of Enoch. Enoch pleased God. Enoch pleased God. Doesn't that give you comfort? God can be pleased. So many times God is the big man upstairs, you can't do anything right. But Enoch had this reputation before he died, he pleased God. That teaches us, that teaches me, that God can be pleased. And we can walk with God and we can have that sweet communion and we can have that fellowship all the days of our life, and we don't have to falter and we don't have to fail and we don't have to quit. He walked in an upward trajectory, and we're told he was not. I interpret that this way. He walked in an upward trajectory and he disappeared. He just was taken up. He was taken up. He walked with God and was not. Our text goes on to tell us, for God took him. He was on an upward trajectory with God and he disappeared, and he was not because God took him. And as so often has been the case in our study of Genesis, as has so often been the case in our study on Wednesday nights with the book of Revelation, so often we see the question asked, do you really believe that? Do you really think that happened? I really believe it. I don't think it happened. I know it happened. Enoch walked with God. Enoch was in agreement with God. Enoch pleased God. Enoch was in an upward trajectory walking with God, and he disappeared. He disappeared and was not because God took him. We would say he was raptured. Here's an Old Testament example of the rapture. And in Genesis chapter 6, we can't get ahead of ourselves and we can't get into these details. We will as we progress along. But in Genesis chapter 6, we begin seeing how God's going to judge the world. God's going to destroy the earth with the flood. And we see in these generations of Genesis chapter 5, that in preparation to that judgment, in preparation for the great flood, these generations were dying off. These generations, God was thinning the ranks. And we believe that Methuselah died the very same year as the great flood. And we see in that how God works before judgment comes. Before judgment comes, before the wrath of God comes, God takes his people home. God takes his people out. We're not appointed to wrath, but we're appointed to receive mercy. God has not appointed us to experience his judgment. As judgment was preparing to be placed upon the earth in Genesis 6, these generations were dying leading up to the time. And Enoch didn't die before the flood. He was raptured. And we believe that Jesus Christ is coming again. Beginning of the tribulation period soon follows. And that is all triggered by the Lord's coming and rapturing his people out. And we believe he's going to rapture us out before that judgment falls. But I want you to really think about this thought. Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years. Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. Enoch walked with God. We realize in really considering that God was the business of his life. See, most people have this kind of relationship with God. They bring him out and they're proud of him and they lift him up on Sundays. But Monday rolls around, and Monday through Saturday, well, they put God over on his place, over on the seat, over in a chair. They put God over there in that chair. And then they go about the living of their life. They go about the remainder of their business. And they'll get back to God when Sunday rolls around again. That's not what Enoch did. Enoch would have had to have a job. Enoch would have had to have responsibilities. Enoch would have had to have ways of providing for his family. And he had to have been faithful in all of those things in order to be able to walk with God. He had to be a good, faithful man, a man of faith. But as he did all of these things, as he carried out all these tasks, God was the business of his life. He was a good father. He had to be a good husband. He had to be a good provider. He had to be a good worker. He had to be a good servant of the Lord. And he was all of those things, or else he would not have been pleasing to God. All of those things were true. But as he went through all of those things, God was his business. Can that be said of you this morning? With your life, the way you live your life and all of your business and all of the tasks and Monday through Saturday, are you walking with God? As you do all that is laid upon you to do, is God your real business? How often does God even cross your mind? How often does God cross our mind Monday through Saturday? That'll determine whether or not we're walking with him. Rather or not we can declare like Enoch that our life pleases God and we walk with him. Communion with God was more important, and communion with God was better than life itself to Enoch. Is it better than self to you and to me? God was in the continuance of his life. As long as he lived, God and Enoch walked together until he was taken, as long as he lived. And God was in the culmination of his life. God was in the ending. God was in the finishing of his life. And I thought you could take these points, these 4 points I just mentioned, and you can take the Apostle Paul, and you can apply all of those same things to the Apostle Paul. Because Paul walked with God. Paul walked with the Lord. Paul served the Lord all the days of his life. God was Paul's life's business. Paul had communion with God, and he thought communion with God was better than life itself. He'd rather have Jesus than anything else. And he lived in a continuance, a continual relationship with God. For me to live is Christ, the Apostle Paul said. God was the culmination of Paul's faith, Paul's life, Paul's time. He was the culmination of Enoch's life. Can you say these things are true this morning? That God is the business of your life? Communion with God is better than life itself? Can you say God is in the continuance of your life as you continue to live your life and go down the road since the Lord saved you? Is God in the continuance of your life? When you come to the end of your time on earth, will God be found in the culmination of your life? Will God be found there as the focus, as the center of your life? Or will the funeral be held and everybody gather together and cry crocodile tears and talk about what you used to do, what you used to be, how you used to walk with God? God was the culmination of Enoch's life. And because all these things were so, he was received up into glory. Can we say these things are true of us? To walk with God, I've struggled with. What's the best way to explain this walk with God? What's essential? What's necessary to have a walk with God? And in considering the record of Enoch here in our text, in considering what Hebrews 11 verse 5 tells us about Enoch, I've come up with these four things that must be true if you're going to walk with God. If I'm going to walk with God, these four things must be true. You must be holy. Why? Because God said, "Be ye holy as I am holy." You're not going to walk with God if you're not living a holy life. You're not going to walk with God if sin has gotten the best of you and has ruined your life. You're not going to walk with God if everything else in the world comes before God. Amen. You got to be holy as He is holy to walk with God. Not only do you have to be holy, but you have to be obedient. God desires obedience over sacrifice. Over sacrifice. More important to God is a child of God's obedience to Him. If we want to walk with God, we're going to have any measure of walking with God, we're going to have to obey Him. Stop making excuses. Stop coming up with exceptions. Stop dismissing. Stop erasing. Stop taking the penknife of unbelief to Scripture. And just obey if you want to walk with Him. Third of all, if you want to walk with God, you have to be pleasing to God. We've seen it is possible. Enoch's not the only example that we have. God can be pleased. It is possible to please God. Enoch pleased God, had that reputation. So therefore he walked with God and was taken up that he not see death. Are we pleasing to God? Are we pleasing to God? Then, fourth of all, we have to be humble. We have to be humble. Look over to Micah. Micah chapter 6. Verse number 8. Micah 6 verse 8. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, And what doth the Lord require of thee? What doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly, to love mercy, notice the last thing, and to walk humbly with thy God. What does God require of every one of us? What does God require of every one of his children? That they walk with him. That they walk humbly with him. You want to walk with God and know your life is one that is in agreement with God, and you and God are just in sweet communion and going down the road of life. You have to be holy, you have to be obedient, you have to be pleasing, and you have to be humble. You're not going to find a walk with God if any of those things are missing. He walked with God. And I believe, as I've already stated, that all of these people, all these men in our text of Genesis, I believe they were all God's children. And I believe they all walked with God. I think that's why we find their record in Scripture, distinguishing them from the people of the world, those who were of Cain's lineage. This is the lineage of Seth. This is the lineage of those who called upon the name of the Lord. These are those which in chapter 6 are called the sons of God. Simply put, all of these 10 generations of men walked with God. Walked with God. But there was something exceptional. There was something of a higher degree found in Enoch. All of these people walked with God. All of these can be said to be the children of God. But something about Enoch was unique. And so God received him up. God took him up without having to see death. And I want to put it this way to you this morning. This room is filled with children of God. This room is filled with people who are walking with God. That's not disputable. That's not going to be argued. I believe with all my heart that this room is full of people that walk with God. But I want to ask you a question. Amongst all these people that are here this morning that walk with God, amongst all of us that are gathered here, how many Enochs do we have? How many exceptions? How many of those who go above and beyond? How many of us have a walk so near and dear to God that we're as pleasing to him as Enoch? See, we're like that individual who puts God in the chair. We're happy and we're contented with God being in that chair. Our knowing God's there. We'll bring him out when we need him. We'll bring him out come Lord's Day. We'll bring him out come time to worship. We're content. We're content just to have a so-so walk with God. Shame on us. Shame on us. All of these men may have walked with God, and that certainly is to their credit. But I don't believe we should be satisfied with just walking with God. I believe we ought to want to have a walk like Enoch had. A walk like Enoch. We have to be holy. We have to be obedient. We have to be pleasing. We have to be humble. We have to be doing everything God asks of us. Everything God requires of us. We need to be doing it all because we're in agreement with God. God makes no mistakes. If you're here today and you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you're a child of God and you're walking with God to some degree. But are you an Enoch? Are you an Enoch? Illustrations, individuals that are laid before us in Scripture, they're not given to us to dangle before us something that is unreachable, unattainable. These things are written for our learning. God lays before us the story of Enoch, not to say, hey, this is impossible, you'll never get there. But God lays Enoch before us to say, hey, he did it, you can do it. God used him and God blessed him and they had a sweet relationship and sweet communion. You can do the same. Amongst this great number of people who certainly have a walk with God, how many Enochs are there? And how many here today even aspire, even desire to be an Enoch instead of just an average Joe? As we close, song leader and come, musician come. As we close, I want to say a word, and I have to say a word, or else I will have failed in my duty. I have to say a word to those that are here this morning who are lost. You know you're lost. You've never been saved. You've never seen yourself a sinner, never repented and believed that the Lord Jesus Christ died for you. And you know in your heart of hearts, you're not a child of God. I have to ask you, the question has popped up a lot lately. Why not? What's keeping you this morning? What's preventing you from walking with God? The only thing preventing you from walking with God is your sin. Sin separates. Sin brings death. The only thing that separates you from walking with God is your sin. And if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, He'll cleanse you and forgive you of all your sins. And you'll leave here this morning a child of God. And you'll leave here this morning walking with God. And you can spend the rest of your life walking with God. Because yes, the curse of sin is still upon man. But God is still saving. And He'll save you this morning. What keeps you from coming? Let's stand. Have a verse.